Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Return of the Alpha by Karina Espinosa, narrated by Nicole Poole. 1. I couldn't feel a thing. I was cold, numb. I didn't feel like myself anymore. It felt more like I was having an out-of-body experience as I laid on the medical bed in Dr. Harris's clinic, waiting for the results of his examination. I stared at the ceiling, taking shallow breaths and praying to whatever God was listening to help me. It couldn't be over. Not yet. Not like this. A single tear slid down the corner of my eye, and I bit my trembling bottom lip to keep it steady. Bash reached for my cold hands. His were so warm. A chill ran through my body at his touch. I turned my head to face him, and he squeezed my hands reassuringly, but didn't say a word. None of us could. I looked down at my bloody pants and choked on a sob as I squeezed my eyes shut. Visions of Abaddon clouded my mind, his booming voice ringing in my ears.
"How about it, Queen? Want to make a deal with the devil?"
It was the last thing he said before Raven grabbed me and flew me out of Caledonian Forest. My ears were filled with Abaddon's maniacal laughter as we got farther and farther away from the forest. After our flight from Abaddon to the clinic, I'd been there ever since. It had been hours, and I still didn't know if my baby was okay. The idea alone made me sick, racked with guilt. I did this to myself. If anything happened, it would be all my fault.
"Listen to me, Mackenzie. Everything is going to be okay,"
Bash tried to reassure me.
"You, the baby, everything and everyone is safe. You hear me?"
I turned my head to the ceiling and sighed heavily. "I just want to go home. Can you take me home, please?"
"I will,"
Bash promised.
"As soon as Dr. Harris returns with your results, we'll leave."
He didn't understand what I meant. This wasn't home, not Scotland. I wanted to go back to Brooklyn. That was home. I couldn't wait much longer. I felt as if I was suffocating in this small medical room.
"Relax, Mackenzie. Take deep breaths."
Bash brushed my hair back, breathing with me. I tried to control my breathing, but it only made me panic even more. Just then, Dr. Harris opened the door to the room and walked inside. His face was grave, and the pit in my stomach dropped. Whatever he had to say wasn't good. Bash stood immediately and faced the doctor.
"Is she okay?" "Have a seat."
He motioned to a chair in the corner of the room, but Bash remained standing. Dr. Harris sighed.
"I'll preface this by easing your anxiety and saying you haven't miscarried. With that said, the baby is at risk."
"At risk of what?"
Bash asked carefully.
"Of a potential miscarriage,"
Dr. Harris replied, turning to me.
"Mackenzie, you've put your body through too much and you're under a lot of stress. It's not good for the baby. I know you don't want this, but I'm putting you on bed rest for the time being, for your sake and the baby's."
I never hid from my problems, and I didn't like staying still. Being put on bed rest and hiding in the castle felt just like that, like I was hiding from Abaddon, the Fae, Charles, and every other person who was after me. I didn't like that feeling because it felt alien. But to protect my child, I would hide in this castle 100 years if I had to. That made me think about Adeline and the things she'd been willing to do for me, things that were probably just as out of character for her. I cleared my throat. "I'll do it," I said. "I'll stay on bed rest for the rest of my pregnancy if I have to." Bash whipped his head in my direction, his eyes bulging.
"You will?"
I nodded. "Now can we leave, please?" I murmured, defeated. "I really just want to go home." Bash's face fell.
"Yeah, Mackenzie, we can go home now."
2. 3 months later. I flipped through my options on Netflix for something to watch and stopped on The Witcher. It was all the rage according to my friends on social media, who were amazed I still hadn't watched it, so I decided to put on the first episode. It had been out for a while, but with everything that had been on my plate, I hadn't had time to watch it. Many compared it to Game of Thrones, which I loved, so I decided to give it a try. And I mean, Henry Cavill? You couldn't go wrong. I dimmed the lights, wiggled my swollen toes under the covers, snuggled under the comforter, and pressed play. That was pretty much the extent of what I'd been doing the past 3 months. Unlike the last time I was on bed rest, this time Alexander made sure I showered every day and prodded me to walk around the royal wing to get some exercise. No one knew about my pregnancy yet, because no one was allowed in the royal wing other than Ranulf, William, Alexander, Dr. Harris, or Bash, and occasionally Ophelia to train. Ranulf and William took turns guarding me, so each of them could rest. I asked them to tell Liam so there could be someone else on guard, but they still didn't want to bring anyone else into the fold. From what William told me, gossip was swirling about me in the castle and around town. According to everyone, the queen was missing and no one had seen me for 3 months. I hadn't gone to a single summit or council meeting because Bashar Alexander always took my place. Many Lycans were upset over that fact. Nonetheless, thankfully, no one had barged into the royal wing to demand to see me as of yet. As for Abaddon, it had been fairly quiet on that front, almost as if he knew I was hiding in the castle and was merely biding his time. There were reports of mysterious deaths in Inverness, the closest human city outside of Shianta village, but we hadn't figured out if they were connected to Abaddon just yet. My gut told me it had to be. Stealing lives was the only way Abaddon could survive in the human realm, unless he had returned to the underworld, which I highly doubted. He wouldn't have returned without getting what he came for. I placed a hand over my growing bump and rubbed my belly as I curled in bed and raised the volume on the TV. A knock on the door alerted me to someone's arrival, and I paused the show. "Come in," I called out. The door opened, and William poked his head inside.
"Your Majesty," he greeted. "I brought lunch."
I sat up quickly and adjusted myself for the tray that William was bringing over. I started salivating when I saw a plate with a cold-cut sub sandwich filled with ham, salami, pepperoni, cheese, lettuce, tomato, black pepper, Italian dressing, and lots of pickles. It was my latest craving, and I couldn't get enough of it.
"How are you feeling?"
William asked as he gently placed the tray over my lap. I licked my lips as I took in the sandwich and chips. "I feel fine," I murmured. I grabbed the sub and took a big hearty bite, grumbling,
"Any news?"
with my mouth full. William chuckled.
"Everything is pretty quiet, Your Majesty, although you're extremely missed."
"What about the Summit Alphas? Are they gone?" I grabbed a few chips, cramming them in my mouth ravenously.
"Aye, most of them went back home since their original trip to Shianta village was extended."
"Most?" I quirked a brow and sipped on my bottled water. "Who stayed behind?" William sighed.
"Grace and Lucas and a few others. They're still fighting for your brother's transfer. Now they're blocking him from applying for the captain position in the Brooklyn pack."
My nostrils flared and I held the comforter in a white-knuckled grip. "Even with Charles missing, they still want to play games."
"The Spaniard Alpha left in a hurry after he heard that Maria sent in forces to the Barcelona pack. He's not very happy right now."
I snorted. "Good, that's what they get for messing with me. I should send enforcers to Canada. Let's see how Grayson likes that." I took an anger-fueled bite of my sub. William nodded.
"I'll relay the message to Maria."
I huffed. "Any word from Rowan?" He shook his head.
"She's still deep undercover. We have guards keeping an eye on her from a distance, and it seems like she's gotten in good with Jacob, but he still doesn't fully trust her."
I scoffed. "Of course not. That old geezer is smart."
"Junior's project is still in the works and has been kept secret. The African summit is coming along nicely,"
William said. "Good," I murmured. "At least something is working out well." I demolished my sandwich and chips as William continued divulging the latest news around the castle and town. I was licking my fingers when he cleared his throat.
Your Majesty,
he started.
Yes?
He straightened.
"Glacima Slade, the witch who owns the town apothecary, has requested to see you. I don't really know what to do in this situation, since you're not seeing anyone."
"Did you tell anyone?" I asked. He shook his head, looking uncomfortable.
"No, Your Majesty. One of the guards informed me last night, and now I'm informing you."
If Cosima wanted to see me, it probably had something to do with the elixir I asked her to concoct. I didn't want to get my hopes up.
but maybe she'd been able to come up with something we could use to fight Abaddon. One could only hope.
I'm going to need your help, William. I pushed my tray to the bottom of the bed. Anything, Your Majesty.
I need you to sneak Cosima into the castle, I said expectantly. Since I can't leave my room, I need her to come here. William grimaced.
Your Majesty,
he muttered.
You're asking a lot for me. How can I sneak her into the castle without getting caught?
Through the service entrance, I replied easily, having thought it all out. Dress her up as one of the kitchen staff and then bring her up to the royal wing.
There's one problem with that, Your Majesty. Who will be guarding your room in the meantime?
He raised a questioning brow. I bit my lip, pondering on what to do. We couldn't leave me unguarded and alone. I hated to say it, but it would give any one of the remaining Summit Alphas a perfect opportunity to storm my rooms. They would take one look at me and my belly, and the truth would be out. Liam! I blurted. He doesn't have to come into my rooms. He just needs to guard outside the Royal Wing's corridor, the only entrance inside.
You're playing with fire, Your Majesty. If Ranul finds out, he'll have my head. Or worse, if Liam finds out.
I trust Liam. I'm not worried about him finding out, I answered. And I did trust him. Aside from William, Liam was the only other guard whom I trusted unconditionally. Truthfully, I wished we could tell him so we'd have more help.
All right,
William sighed.
I'll ask Liam for his help. My shift is over in 3 hours. If we're going to do this, we need to do it now.
I nodded in agreement. William grabbed my empty tray and exited my chambers. Good luck, I murmured. I couldn't sit still. I paced my room with a hand over my round stomach and waited impatiently for William to return with Cosima. It had been 30 minutes already and no word yet. I was nervous that Bash or Alexander would come up to the royal wing suddenly and find Liam guarding the door instead of William. I didn't want to get either of them in trouble. Regardless, I would take the blame. It wasn't like my guards could have said no to me. It wasn't their fault. Afraid I'd wear a hole through the carpet of my chambers, I exited, then went out to the empty common room. With the curtains drawn so nobody could peek inside, I missed the sun. I missed the crisp Scotland air. I wished I could go outside for just 5 minutes. I approached the door that led to the corridor of the royal wing where Liam was and leaned against the door. I gave a soft knock. "Hey, Liam," I whispered. He cleared his throat.
"Your Majesty,"
he said, a little stunned. I grinned. The one and only. How have you been? He choked out.
I've been fine, but I should be asking how you've been. Are you okay?
I smiled. I'm fine. Since I'm not around, I hope they've been keeping you busy. He groaned.
I've been guarding the Alpha of the Italian pack, Your Majesty, but it's nay the same. When are you going to get better? I'd really like to get back on your detail.
I perked up. You're guarding Lucas? Why? Liam snorted.
He says he does nae feel safe with Charles on the loose, so he requested security.
I laughed. What a pansy. Is he really scared of Charles, of all people? They're both alphas. They're on equal footing.
That's what I said.
Liam sighed.
Anyway, I'm stuck with him, and he's a prima donna, Your Majesty. It's exhausting.
I bet, I mumbled. Suddenly, a thought struck me. Wanna do me a favor?
Anything, Your Majesty.
I grinned. Since you're on Lucas's security detail, I want you to spy on him for me. Even though he says he's afraid of Charles, I don't believe him. I think they're up to something, and I want you to figure it out.
Of course, Your Majesty.
Liam sounded delighted to have a mission to undertake on my behalf. But Liam, be very careful. Don't take any unnecessary risks. Prima donna or not, Lucas is crafty and dangerous. They all are. I'm not sure they won't kill you if you're caught. Liam cleared his throat.
Don't worry, Your Majesty. I'll be extremely careful.
I nodded, satisfied with the plan. With Rowan watching Jacob and the rest of the ex-council members and Liam on Lucas's tail, I might get 10 steps ahead of them all. But just like I warned Liam, I had to be careful. Being ahead in the game didn't always help. Look what happened with Charles. He attacked and tried to kill me, then still managed to get away. The faded claw marks on my stomach were all that was left.
Your Majesty.
Yeah? I said through the door.
If you don't mind me asking, why have you been in your rooms all these months? Abaddon is still out there.
I rested my forehead on the door and sighed.
I'm not ill, if that's what you're worried about.
There's a lot of rumours going around, Your Majesty. Many believe you're afraid of the demon and are in hiding.
I growled, my claws extending and scraping against the wood of the door. I'm not hiding from Abaddon, I snarled. I hated feeling weak. I never ran away from my problems. And to those on the outside with no insight, that seemed to be exactly what I was doing. I looked like a coward, and that thought made me furious because it couldn't be further from the truth. If I could, I would fight Abaddon right this second. But after that scare 3 months ago, I couldn't put the baby at risk. Not again. No one had told me what kind of rumors were floating around, probably because they didn't want to upset me. But without knowing it, Liam opened a can of worms. In reality, I'd already figured out what others were probably saying about me, so it wasn't entirely his fault. We continued discussing what the other guards on my detail were up to and where they were since they weren't guarding me until William returned with Cosima.
You can return to your detail, Liam,
I heard William say on the other side of the door.
Aye,
Liam said.
Take care of your majesty.
Thank you, and don't forget what we discussed, I hurried to say.
Of course, your majesty.
Slowly, I heard his footsteps descend the corridor until they were silent. Once Liam was gone, I checked the doorknob to make sure it was locked. We can speak through the door, I said. How are you, Cosima?
I'm well, Mackenzie. Are you okay? What's going on? Why all the secrecy? She asked.
Just taking precautions,
William answered quickly. Anything you have to say, you can say it in front of William. He's my most trusted guard, I reassured her.
Very well, she murmured. Remember when you came to my apothecary requesting a potion to fight against mind control?
Yes, I said eagerly.
I think I came up with something, Mackenzie, she said. It's nae specifically for mind control, but for compulsion. I figured it would work just the same.
I grinned. That was genius. Compulsion was almost the same thing as mind control. That's great, Cosima. Did you bring it with you?
Aye,
she said, and I heard rustling behind the door.
But we won't know if it works until we try it against the demon.
That was the only downside. Either it would work or it wouldn't, in which case it would backfire on us and put more of my people in danger. How long will it take you to mass-produce this elixir? I asked hopefully. There was a pause before she said,
I can make 200 vials in a week, maybe less. It's a rough estimate.
That's enough for most of my guards, I muttered. Start mass-producing. The crown will pay for it. If you need extra hands to make more faster, I can lend you Tavish.
Aye, Mackenzie. I'll get right on this, she said. Do you want me to make enough for all of your guards?
I shook my head, forgetting she couldn't see me. No, I want you to make enough for the entire village. 3. Before leaving, Cosima handed me the vial she'd produced. The liquid that swirled inside was bright green, and when I uncorked it, the bitter smell wafted to my nose. The witch cautioned it would last approximately 2 weeks before another dosage would be needed. The elixir wasn't long-lasting, but at least it was something. I hid the vial in the drawer where I kept Adeline's journal because Bash never went in there. It wasn't that I was intentionally trying to keep it a secret from my mate, but since I wasn't supposed to have any visitors, I figured I'd just keep Cosima's visit to myself for now. William stood in my chambers quietly. When I finally crawled back in bed, he offered,
Your Majesty Ranulph will be relieving me soon. Will you be okay?
I'll be fine. Thank you for your help. I smiled brightly. And remember, this stays between us. William winked.
Of course, Your Majesty.
He turned on his heels and shut my chamber doors behind him as he exited my room. I heard the murmured exchange between him and Ranulph before he left his post, and I counted down the seconds before Ranulph showed up in my room. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. My chamber doors opened, and Ranulph entered briskly, a man on a mission. His crisp suit was amazingly unwrinkled, which was a testament to the man's fastidiousness.
Your Majesty,
the old guard bowed as he stopped at the foot of my bed.
Are you comfortable?
I nodded. Yeah. Where's Bash? He cleared his throat and looked away.
Sebastian is dealing with what's left of the summits.
I frowned. What's going on with the summits?
He furrowed his brows, obviously not wanting to answer my question for fear of upsetting me.
They're fighting him on Oliver's transfer,
he admitted miserably.
They're blocking his transition to captain.
My heart plummeted and I sat up in bed. When is the fight for the captain position? I asked carefully.
In 2 days' time.
Then we don't have much time, I mused. Ollie is going to miss his chance if he can't compete. Ranulf grunted.
We're doing the best we can, Your Majesty. Unfortunately, we're limited with how much authority we have.
My eyes widened slightly. That's what the problem is? You don't have the authority? Ranulf grimaced. I flung the comforter and sheets away from me and kicked my legs over the bed angrily. Grabbing the robe lying across the foot of the bed, I shrugged it on and cinched the belt. Ranulf stared at me with wide eyes.
Oh, Your Majesty, what are you doing?
What does it look like? I hopped off the bed and stomped toward my closet. I hadn't worn anything besides pajamas or sweats in 3 months, so I wasn't confident I could find anything that would fit. I'm going to the summit meeting, I informed him from inside the closet.
What?
Ranulf choked out.
You can't go, you're bedridden.
I waved off his concern. I'm super mellow and my bump isn't even that big. I can hide it with an oversized hoodie. You know, the ones you say make me look like a commoner. I snorted, biting my lip to keep from laughing.
Your Majesty, if you get upset...
I won't, I said breezily. Don't worry about me. After 3 months being locked in my room, I'm hella chill. Sorta. Maybe. Possibly. We'll see. I stormed out of the closet in a pair of sweatpants, a hoodie, and a pair of Air Max Nike sneakers. Though far from queenly, they were the only things that still fit. As I was about to leave my chambers, I snapped my fingers and turned back around. Ranulf's eyes lit up, obviously thinking I'd reconsidered my decision to head back out into the castle and reveal myself to the summit members. I walked back into my closet, approached the glass case that contained my ruby-adorned crown, and sauntered back out with it grasped firmly in my hand. I waved the crown at Ranulf and placed it askew on top of my head, centering it alongside my messy bun. You know, to make me look official and junk. I smirked as Ranulf gaped at me. Come on. Let's go see those bastards. Ranulf hurried to catch up to me as I made my way out of the royal wing and down the corridor for the first time in 3 months. My body tingled with excitement at my first bit of freedom, even if it was only to go argue with the summit. We headed down the grand staircase and I was practically running in my haste. Well, as much as I could run in my current state.
Slow down, Your Majesty,
Ranulf whisper yelled. I heard the startled gasps of staff members and guards as they watched me pass by on my way through the castle. They hadn't seen or heard from me in months, and there I was, stomping through the castle in sweats and a crown. Once we reached the hallway that led to the throne room, I picked up my pace and hustled to get to the doors with the wolves carved on them. When I arrived, the two guards standing there looked at me as if they'd seen a ghost.
Your Majesty!
They stuttered in unison, sizing me up and down, taking in my strange attire. Open the doors, I commanded, raising my chin and affecting a royal air.
Aye, Your Majesty.
Without missing a beat, they bowed and did as they were told. The instant the doors opened, I saw complete chaos. Bash stood in front of the throne, his face red and his arms held out against 10 to 15 alphas, who were shouting and growling so loudly he couldn't get a word in edgewise. Guards lined the walls of the throne room, but they stood motionless, just watching everything unfold. I made eye contact with Liam, and his eyes grew when he saw me, unable to stop the grin that unfurled across his mouth. I winked at him, and then looked straight ahead.
Quiet!
I yelled. My voice bounced off the walls, making them vibrate from the force of my alpha power. Everyone shut up in an instant, some flinging hands over their ears from my shout. Almost as one body, they slowly turned around to the throne room doors and gaped. Several had to do a double take to figure out who the intruder was, since I wasn't necessarily dressed like the queen they were used to seeing. Walking with ease, the assembled alphas parted and made a gap large enough for me to walk through on my way to the throne, watching in open-mouthed shock as I passed them. I patted Bash's arm at the foot of my throne, his bewildered look matching everyone else's. When I reached the throne, I spun on my heels and faced the alphas of the American and European summits, the ones who'd obviously decided to stay and cause mischief.
I narrowed my eyes. I'm gone for 3 months, and this is how you treat the ones I've left in charge? I growled. Grayson, Alpha of the Canadian Pack, stepped forward and straightened.
We don't take orders from him,
he rumbled, pointing to Bash. Bash snarled, but I held up a hand to stop him from moving forward. As Prince Consort, his rank is higher than yours. Learn your place, Grayson, before you no longer have one. I flashed my silver eyes, causing the older Alpha to flinch.
Where have you been, Your Majesty?
Lucas came forward and asked, or more like demanded. His tone was no longer friendly. All pretenses that he was a honey-tongued diplomat were gone. I raised a brow and grinned. And since when do I answer to you? Lucas's jaw ticked before he said,
You must answer to the summit. You've spent the last 3 months hiding from your problems.
Oh, is that what I've been doing? I didn't know you all had the answers. Maybe I should be asking you then. I smirked. Tell me, Lucas, what exactly have I been doing for the last 3 months? He grinded his teeth, but wisely stayed quiet, his dark eyes watching me, fighting the urge to flash his eyes at me in dominance. The thought made me smile. I enjoyed ticking off these self-righteous alphas. I nodded. I thought so. Don't talk about something you don't know shit about.
So explain it to us, Your Majesty,
Grayson demanded.
What the hell is going on?
I slipped my sweaty hands into the front pockets of my hoodie and slouched like I didn't have a care in the world. It's nothing that concerns you, any of you. But I'm here now, and unless you all want to be reprimanded for not following orders from Sebastian, I suggest you do as he said. Grayson growled.
Your brother cannot compete for a captain position.
I shrugged. Why not? The Canadian Alpha straightened imperiously.
He's newly shifted, and he doesn't know our rules and laws, for starters.
Grayson looked around at what was left of the summits and grunted.
And let's be honest, he's a bitten wolf. He's not truly one of us.
I threw my head back and laughed. Dude, you're seriously giving me Hitler vibes, and that's not a compliment, in case you're not aware. I steeled my spine and turned the full force of my gaze to him, my expression colder than ice and my eyes silver. Listen to me carefully, because I'm only going to say this once. Oliver Gray will compete for the position of captain in the Brooklyn Pack, and that's final. Anyone who has a problem with that will be stripped of their title and banned from Lycan territories. I relaxed my posture just a smidge and swept my calculating glare across the other alphas. Now, you might think I'm going to extremes, but I'm tired of my authority being questioned at every turn, and I've had enough. I've reached the end of my patience, and from here on out, anyone who crosses me will get the full extent of my wrath. I'm not holding back anymore. Do I make myself clear?
Your Majesty,
Ranulph murmured, trying to caution me against rash statements, but I ignored him. My gaze remained fixed on the alphas before me.
Yes, Your Majesty.
They all mumbled like reprimanded children, the words bitter in their mouths. Good, I said. Remember, you can either do as I say or fight me. And trust me, you don't want to enter a ring with me. You won't come out alive. With that final piece of advice, I stepped down from the throne platform and walked out of the throne room with my head held high, Ranulph following behind me. 4. Instead of going back to my rooms, I decided to take advantage of my new freedom and headed for the back door of the castle, plodding across the drawbridge and emerging into the green pastures that led into the verdant forest. I sucked in a deep breath, taking in the fresh air. I hadn't been outside in months. The sun beamed down on me and bathed my face in buttery warm light. It felt wonderful. I crouched on my knees and rolled over onto my back, spreading my arms out wide and luxuriating in the softness of the grass, unconcerned when my crown tumbled from my head onto a patch of wildflowers. I took in a deep breath, smelling the sweet scents of freshly cut grass and squinting into the sun. Within minutes, I started sweating beneath my thick hoodie and sweatpants, but the feeling was so wonderful I didn't even care.
Mackenzie.
Bash interrupted my reverie, and I opened my eyes, turning my head in his direction. Yes? I raised a brow and placed a hand over my belly. He gave a long-suffering sigh.
Why are you out of your rooms?
I sat up and leaned back on my hands. I heard you were having a hard time. I tilted my head.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?